at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, regular season game number 3. And Lance, while it might be a little bit premature to call this a must-win game for the Giants, with their schedule the way it's set up to start 0-3, it would make their margin of error and path to the playoffs very, very difficult.
It's minute at this point, the margin of error, and it's very difficult to overcome an 0-3 start. We know based on the archives the percentages are against you, but the main focus for the Giants right now has to be to get off to a good start in a single game. And if you look at the Lions game, the Calvin Johnson early touchdown, and then against the Arizona Cardinals, Drew Stanton, the backup quarterback, drives his team down the length of the field, and just like that, they're in an 0-7 hole. So the key for the Giants here against the Houston Texans is not worry about big picture, not worry about what an additional win or an additional loss is going to do for you, but gain some momentum early and try to ride that through the duration of 4 quarters, and that is something that they failed to do so far this season.
And we will be taking your calls at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter as well. Sorry for starting a little bit late, folks, but now we'll get right to it. We'll take your calls and talk some Giants football. We've talked about the Giants all week long, so let's focus, Lance, a little bit on the Houston Texans, and we'll start with their offense. Defensive coordinator Perry Field talked earlier in the week about how the Texans have run their offense this year very conservatively. They want to run the football. They don't chuck it down the field, and they protect the football. No turnovers. The Giants defense, no takeaways. Something's got to give.
More approach, you know, that they've been playing ahead in each of the ball games, you know, two of the ball games that we've studied as far as the regular season games, and they're smart with the ball, that they can run the football, and they can take some shots when they want to take the shots. They can dictate how they want to play the game with some short, quick passing, and then, you know, air it out at times. So the quarterback hasn't been sacked, I think, but once, right, in 2 regular season games. And so, yeah, they want to control the ball running, but they're going to – Big 80, I mean, you got to get the ball to that guy, and he hasn't lost anything.
And that's Andre Johnson, veteran wide receiver. Maybe not the player he was 5 years ago, Lance, but still very effective. The bottom line here is that the Texans want to play old-school football. Arian Foster leads the NFL in carries. His 55 carries through 2 games is the most any running back has had since 2006. So, obviously, they want to pound the football here. They want to play conservative football, and they want to win their way.
80 carries overall as a team. They are up there in terms of the top teams in that rushing department, and that's how they like to set the tone. The offensive philosophy hasn't changed much as they've gone from the Gary Kubiak school of thought, the former head coach, to the Bill O'Brien school of thought. They still like to go run heavy, and then as a result of their play action, they'll open up the passing game. Ryan Fitzpatrick has not been very good in protecting the football, John, over the course of his history. This is his 3rd team in as many years, so the goal is, hey, if we could pound the football, we'll have Ryan Fitzpatrick only attempt about 19 passes. He'll protect the ball. He'll manage the game. And we'll walk out of here with a victory. So the key, obviously, it goes without saying, take away Arian Foster, stop the run. And the Giants, in fairness, John, have been very effective in stopping the run over the first 2 games.
And they have the right guy to pound the football with, do the Texans with Arian Foster. More than 1,200 carries. He's been over 300 carries 3 different years. And he had more than 400 carries back in 2012. Perry Field knows the type of threat Arian Foster can be.
Great vision. It's unbelievable, his vision, how he can see the small creases, his acceleration into those small creases, and then his ability to get yards, you know, in a small crease that, you know, move the chains, 5, 4, 5, 6. So, yeah, it's been 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on our list this week.
And they're going to stop the run, Lance. That's one of the big things they're going to want to do. And you mentioned that they've done it well so far. But if you make Ryan Fitzpatrick get into 3rd and long, despite the fact that Giants haven't been able to stop any 3rd and longs this year, and we'll get to that in a second, they should be in good opportunities to make some things happen on defense.
Well, the Texans have been pretty good on 3rd downs, offensively speaking as well as defensively speaking. They're actually number 2 in 3rd down defense, and they're number 4 in 3rd down offense. So while they have faced plenty of precarious situations over the first 2 games, they've actually been very effective in coming through. The Giants' defense, on the other hand, John, as you just alluded to, has been terrible on 3rd down. They have not been able to make any stops. And the one play that jumps out to me, and I mentioned this earlier in the week, it's a 3rd and 14 against the Arizona Cardinals. and you let Andre Ellington run to the right side for 15 yards. You can't have that happen because you're going up against a very deadly running game for the second straight week in Arian Foster.
No doubt about it, and I mentioned the turnover differential. These two teams on opposite ends of the spectrum. The Giants are at -6. That's worse than the league. The Texans at +5, Lance. That's tied for best in the league. 6 takeaways for the Texans, just 1 turnover. Here's Perry Fuel on his frustration with the Giants' inability to force turnovers.
Very, very frustrating because I think this group is a turnover conscious group, and that's something that we've done consistently, not only in practice, but we did that pretty good in the preseason, but we haven't been able to do it in 2 ball games, and not only is that 1, 2, and 3. The run game, but the turnover emphasis is 1, 2, and 3 on our board this week too, 4, 5 on our board too, because without those, we can't put our offense in position to score. We can't score on defense. We can't do a lot of things that we would like to do in order to dictate the game.
And a lot was made, especially in the New York Post this morning, about the team players only meeting that Antrell Roland, some of the leaders on this team, held yesterday. And look, I'm not one to get all excited about these player only meetings, Lance. I don't think attitude or effort was ever an issue with this team, taking things seriously. I think the defense especially has a lot of guys on this team that are smart, they're veterans, they try hard, they play hard. They simply haven't made the players in the field. So I'm not sure how some, players-only team meeting is going to go and solve some of their problems of not being able to force takeaways.
Well, it's important for everybody to be on the same page. Other than that, John, I don't think this team needs to be motivated. I think they see the writing on the wall. They understand, hey, they're 0-2. They started off 0-6 last season. And yes, the personnel has changed from 1 year to another, but you don't want to repeat that. Why? Because if you dig yourselves into an early hole, there's no way you're going to recover from that. Very few teams have been able to do that, especially the New York Giants. So I think they understand the task at hand. What a players-only meeting is going to do for them in the long run, that remains to be seen. It comes down to the X's and O's. They've been careless with the football over the first 2 games. They can't afford to do that against what has been so far a very opportunistic defense. The Houston Texans, now let's be clear, this defense has given up yards. They have not been too effective in stopping the pass and stopping the run. But what they have been effective is getting those game-changing turnovers. 6 takeaways, +5, as John threw out, is the turnover differential. Keep in mind, this was a team -19 last season.
Yeah, worse in the league, besides the Giants.
All of a sudden, they go from -19, I understand it's just 2 games, to +5. They have made this an area of concern, and they have lived up to their expectations over the first 2 games. The Giants, on the other hand, were second to last, right in front of the Texans. They, unfortunately, have continued where they left off of last season.
A couple interesting numbers, too, which you wouldn't think about the Texans' offense. Ryan Fitzpatrick is actually second in the NFL in terms of yards per attempt. Known as a guy without a big arm, he's kind of a short passer type of thing. So interesting to see that he's second in the league in yards per attempt, 118.4 quarterback rating, by the way, is also second in the NFL.
Behind Peyton Manning.
No question about it. And then also on defense, DJ Swearinger, one of their young safeties, has been involved in 3 of their 6 turnovers. So there are some playmakers on this team that maybe people aren't that aware of.
Well, I was going to say the secondary as a whole, John, is responsible for 5 of the 6 takeaways. So they've been a very active group. 2 fumbles on 1 play against the Oakland Raiders.
And Jonathan Joseph playing a lot better than he did last year, having a bounce back year. And, of course, we should talk about J.J. Watt before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513. And I was watching some of the Texans game tape from the first 2 weeks, Lance. And the thing about J.J. Watt, they will line him up at left tackle, at right tackle, at left end, at right end. They'll stand him up. This guy is all over the place. So it's going to be a team effort to stop J.J. Watt. It's not going to be, all right, John Jerry, all right, Justin Pugh, or whomever you want to talk about, go stop this guy. This is a team effort. Everyone's got to be a part of this to slow down J.J. Watt because he's probably the best defensive player in the league right now.
Goes without saying. Were you watching it with Paul Dottino, by the way, when you were studying the game film?
I don't watch with Paul because he locks himself in the rubber room. So when he bounces off the walls and starts yelling and screaming, the cops don't come over. It's happened before.
Well, I was worried about your mental state, so that's why I just wanted to make sure. But getting back to J.J. Watt, hey, forget what he does on defense, John. How about the fact that he blocked an extra point, they use him on special teams, and he also caught a touchdown as a tight end.
And they're saying they might use him more in that regard, too.
Correct. They are trying to capitalize on his different skill sets. And I don't blame them, considering they just invested a great deal of money in J.J. Watt. But from a defensive standpoint, he is an active player. He's a disruptive player, and they will look to capitalize based on the matchups. And they're smart to do that because if you look at the Giants' offensive line, if you're Romeo Crennel, the defensive coordinator for the Texans, and you're saying to yourself, who do I want to go after on the Giants' offensive line? Well, Weston Richburg is probably number one on my
list.
Well,
he's a rookie.
You want to test him. He's a young guy. And I also want to test Justin Pugh, too, who is still relatively young as well.
And frankly, J.D. Walton struggled a little bit early this year. So obviously, J.J. Well, will get moved around and they'll give it a shot to try to get him to Eli Manning. The Giants will have to protect their quarterback. 201-939-4513. Let's go to the phones and start out with Mike in Oakland. Is this Oakland, California or Oakland, New Jersey, Mike?
California.
What's going on, man?
Transplant.
Welcome. See, this is why
great,
put this show at noon, so we can get live callers from the West Coast. So what you got,
Yeah,
Mike?
I love it. So I wanted to ask you about something I haven't seen since Plaxico Burress.
Okay.
Namely, a big receiver using his body, screen the DB, pick up like 7 yards
well,
of catch.
Mike,
right?
In fairness, Akeem Nicks, even though he wasn't 6'3", 6'4", at 6'1", with long arms, Nicks was pretty good at being that type of a possession receiver when he was here.
Hey, I think Nicks was great, dominant, I think, when he was healthy, and I loved him. But I think he did a lot more stuff on the move. And I just remember, like, that Green Bay NFC Championship game.
Right.
And, you know, conditions were terrible. And it seemed like Plax would go out about 7 yards, just basically stand up the DB, turn his body on him, and just catch the ball, seven
yep.
yards, bam. So I guess I'm asking you guys, you know, you're seeing practice. I know Corey catches the fade in the end zone, but can Corey Washington, 6'5 guy, especially with the new rules to protect the receiver and prevent, you know, a lot of contact outside of 5 yards, can he be that 7 yard guy for us?
Hey, look, from what I hear, I can tell, Mike, despite the fact that Corey Washington had a lot of wow plays in the preseason, he's still very much a work in progress. And obviously, since the Giants are going to give Preston Parker the nod this year ahead of him on the depth chart, I think that tells you really all you need to know. Now, would I like to see Corey Washington a little bit more? Do I think we are going to see him a little bit more this week? I think you are, simply because when they run four wide receiver sets, he's the fourth guy now, not the fifth. So I think we'll see more of Corey Washington. But I think a lot of times what happens is you see a guy make a few big plays in the preseason, you're like, wow, look what this guy can do. But maybe he's not as consistent play in, play out, route in, route out that you need from a guy to be that type of possession receiver. So maybe a big, you know, chuck down the field now or then to try to make that big play, take advantage of his height. Maybe a red zone play here or there to try to do that fade like they did in week number one. But I'm not sure if he's there yet, Mike, to be that consistent 7-8 yard possession receiver like you're talking about.
Mike, the other thing to take into consideration is the fact that he still has yet to make some strides in the special teams department. And if you're not going to be an every down wide receiver, you need to contribute on special teams. So I think that's what has inhibited somewhat from getting onto the football field. The one guy that I come to mind about when I think about the player that I put Corey Washington in that department, it's more so a defensive player, is Adewale Ajomo, who shined in the preseason, but, you know, wasn't as consistent during practice, and I think that's where Corey Washington is. High upside, a lot of potential. It's not necessarily transferring to practice each and every day.
Mike, remember, he's coming from a division, you know, 1AA small school here, Division II school, so he's a guy that's going to have to learn. It might take a little bit of time, which is fine.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Thanks for the time, guys.
All right, Mike, thanks for calling
thanks for
in, man. Appreciate it. And I think a lot of Giant fans were excited. And I thought maybe Corey Washington might get more of a shot, too, once Joe Jernigan got hurt. But it appears that the coaching staff right now has more confidence in Preston Parker to be a more consistent target for Eli Manning.
Well, in terms of probably between the red zones, but I still think they're going to try to get Corey Washington on the field in certain packages
sure.
where they think that they could potentially use his height and his size to capitalize on some certain matchups. So we're going to see him. We're just not going to see him on the field every single play like we would see with respect to Preston Parker.
201-939-4513. Ann is in Washington, D.C. What's going on, Ann?
Hi, good afternoon. How are you all?
Good morning, Ann. What's going on?
It's good afternoon, actually. I don't know if
right.
it's a check-in. Yeah, normally I don't get to check in at noon, but today I'm able to do it because I'm actually working from home.
Oh, okay.
Normally I'm in meetings at 12 noon or either doing something else. You know, I'm walking in the afternoon.
Well, we're glad the schedule cooperated. So what do you have for us today, Ann?
Yeah, what I have is that I didn't see the game on Sunday, but my question is, now you know how I feel. Football is a business.
Of course.
Now, the Giants came in there last week with a game, so I don't know why they And you know, I know why they didn't run the ball. My question is, how long is Tom Coughlin going to be with this team? I'm getting to the business here.
Well, and they tried to run the football. They were unable to run the football because the Cardinals have the best run defense in football.
Right, but let me ask a question. And I understand, is he just signed during Eli Manning's tenure, or will he be here beyond Eli Manning? That's my question.
If I had to make a bet who would be here longer, Eli Manning or Tom Coughlin, I'd probably say Eli Manning simply because I think he probably has more years left on his career than Tom, but who knows?
I know that Manning's contract ends. He'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2016.
Well, right, but you're assuming they're not going to re-sign Eli. I think there's a decent chance that they do.
I'm hoping that Eli says, let me get the hell out of here, the way Tom Coughlin is. He's ruining this guy. He's ruining the career.
Wait. And time out. How is Tom Coughlin ruining Eli's career?
Let me tell you how. Because
it was short-lived.
Let me finish, please.
The medication is worn off.
He's the coach of the team. You told me a couple of weeks ago that he is responsible for putting players on the field. Now, last week, he should have been. I don't care. He went and drafted a big, fat running back out of Boston College, which the team is practically all Boston College of Syracuse, which, duh, they can't play.
What's your problem with Andre? Andre Williams had a great preseason,
He didn't play enough. That's what I'm saying. He should have had Hillis on that field. He should have had, what's the other fullback out there?
Heinicke. And you are aware, they ran the ball 27 times. It's not as if they ran the ball five times.
Run it 40 times then. You know why? Because he had no business. He didn't get any big, tall receivers. And the Giants were so arrogant. They knew what they had coming in here this year because these same guys were here last year.
And that's why they drafted Odell Beckham Jr. in the first round. The guy's hurt. What do you want?
I wanted Mike Evans, and I wanted
Mike Evans wasn't available. Mike Evans is off the board.
Look, that big tight end was there.
No, he was off the board, too.
Eric Ebron was drafted
gone.
Already.
He got drafted the pick before the Giants.
Let me finish. Please let me finish.
Well, Ann, you're naming 75 players that weren't even available for the New York Giants. I mean, let's make a point here.
NFL is supposed to be catering to women, right? And we, the women, have spoken. We want Tom Coughlin retired. We want him out of here because he's putting these players on the field. And when they play the Texans, I don't want to see Preston. This is a 5-interception game if they plan on throwing that ball because Texans are physical. And we don't have the physicality. Our receivers don't have the physicality. And you're going to put a bum like Preston Parker on the field instead of putting Washington. Parker's been bouncing. Practically every receiver is undrafted on this team. There's a reason for that.
That's not true. First of all, Odell Beckham was a first-round pick. Reuben Randall was a second-round pick. Jerome Jernigan was a third-round pick.
He does make catches. Everybody else is undrafted.
Well, Preston Parker was supposed to be the fifth wide receiver on this team. He wouldn't even have made the roster if these guys were healthy.
And let me ask you this question. And since when in the NFL rulebook do you need to have a first-round pick to be a productive player or to be a productive team? Appreciate the phone, Ryan. Thanks so much. All right, let's get rid of her. I think we got her on for enough time.
You know, she got through the preseason, the first two games, keeping the sanity in check. She did.
Missed the doctor's appointment this weekend. It wears off.
By the way, she says that the women have spoken.
Every woman out there wants Tom Coughlin gone. At least
first
we have
all,
made that very clear
think,
on Big Blue Kickoff.
I'm not sure the entire female population wants Ann as their spokesman. Spokeswoman, excuse me.
Well, she'll speak for them regardless.
Yes. I think the Nanas and Kishons out there probably think differently.
And you can only put so much stock into what Ann is saying time and time again. But the one thing that did irritate me is just because you have a bunch of undrafted commodities doesn't mean that they can't be productive players.
Victor Cruz is pretty good.
There we go. I was just going to get to that. So, you know, I understand that they are lacking talent. Listen, I'm going to be the last one to tell you this Giants roster is jumping off the page and they've got big-time playmakers. No, they're lacking playmakers. They're lacking consistency. However, just because you're missing first-round picks doesn't mean you can't be a productive team and you can't get the most out of your talent pool. Preston Parker, not expecting the Giants fan base to get excited. Let's see what he does now with more of an expanded role. This was a player a few years ago who took advantage of his reps in Tampa Bay. He was out of football last season. Daniel Fells was out of football. He also made his way onto this Giants roster. Let's see a game or two before all of a sudden we say, hey, the Giants are in desperate need of some massive help. And the goal is to get Odell Beckham Jr. back on the football field because that's who they did invest in early draft pick, and that's who they expect to be a game changer.
201-939-4513. I don't think I've heard from this guy since we moved the show to noon. Shakes is in Baltimore. What's going on, Shakes?
Oh, what's going on, John?
Now, you got the follow in D.C. You should feel honored.
I
big shoes to fill,
throw
Shakes.
Me on after, and that was pretty intense.
Well, with Shakes, she's naming guys that got picked before the Giants even drafted.
Well, I think her point is why not go and get the guy that you want, like I've been saying.
Because if you do that, if you trade your second-round pick, guess what? Your offensive line is worse today than it would be because you wouldn't have Weston Richburg.
But I ain't going to get in that.
And also wanted, by the way, Jadeveon Clowney, but then she looked at the draft and realized he went with the number one overall pick. We're still trying to clarify that for her.
Anyway, go ahead, Shakes. What do you got? Sorry for interrupting. What's up, man?
Nothing. I just wanted to talk about this Preston Parker thing.
Yeah.
Because I've been also critical on this, too. And also, before I get into that, you said the women of BBK or Giant Nation, that spokesman.
Yes.
Kashawn's and Nana's. I think they want Coughlin gone, too, because of the decisions that Coughlin does make. He don't want to play these rookies. He don't want to play these young guys. It's always the experience over the young guys. And
Preston Parker's not an old man, Shakes.
Why are they going with Preston Parker over Washington?
Because they think Preston Parker's a better player. What can I tell you?
They said because he got the experience factor. That's what Coughlin said. As soon as they asked him, experience. And that's what it is. And I'm tired of that. Stop putting experience over hunger. These hunger kids need to be thrown out there.
Shakes, hold on. You're going to tell me that Preston Parker has no hunger right now, especially since he's been out of the game for an entire year? I mean, when you say that Corey Washington has more hunger than Parker, I think it's a little misleading.
I mean, Parker's building tiki huts in Florida last year, basically begging for money to live his life. I'm not even being, like, over the top here. He literally did that last year. So trust me, he's as hungry as he comes.
I'm not saying that he's not hungry, but what we've seen out of Washington, he shows more hunger. Just more. He's got that dog in him that
Shakes,
you need
just,
on this team.
Shakes, just say what you want to say. Corey Washington's taller than Preston Parker, and that's why you want him to play.
No, it's not even that. Because I wasn't even high on Washington until I seen him in the preseason, that I seen that dog in him. Just the same dog that I said Steve Smith had that we need to go get if we're not going to re-sign Knicks. We got to have some of these guys with the dog in them. And that's what we don't have. We always going with these experienced guys over hunger kids. It's ridiculous. I'm tired of it.
Well, Shakes, honestly.
On the inexperienced guys. The only way they're going to learn is on the field, not on the sideline, on the field.
Shakes, I hear what you're saying, but let me just say this. In terms of personality, and I think I know where you're going with what you're saying, to me, Parker has more of an edge to him when you talk to him. And based on his life, he has more of an edge or a dog in him than Corey Washington does, in my opinion. Just the personality and the way they go after stuff, that's my feel for it.
I don't agree. Not on the field. You see way more dog in Washington than you see in Parker.
Why?
And Parker don't have no burners, man.
I mean, Corey Washington
break away from nothing. That 25-yarder should have been a 50.
Corey Washington can go up and get the ball better than Parker. If that's what you're talking about, I'll buy it. But the whole personality thing, I'm not sure you're on it.
It's not a personality. It's how you play on the field. And Washington plays with more desire to make a play than Parker does. That's, in my opinion, where I watch, that's what I see.
I don't know if it's desire, Shakes. I think it might be ability to go up and get the ball because of his better size.
I think it's the assets that he brings to the table.
I wouldn't even say that. It's just the fight in him. That's all I'm saying.
Well, but, Shakes, in fairness, I don't think there's enough of a resume between both of them those type of judgments. I mean, granted, Corey Washington had a great preseason, but, I mean, he caught touchdowns. It's not as if he had 9 catches every single game,
and
Parker had limited
resume?
Opportunities.
Can he get a resume, Lance? Can you throw him on the field and let's see?
Well, he was targeted in week number one, wasn't he, against the Detroit Lions?
One time,
did they not put him out
when
there?
When everybody knew that's when they going to throw to you? Are you kidding me?
Well, but it's the old philosophy.
Wait, Shakes. Hold on. He wasn't double teamed out there. He had single coverage. He had the matchup that they wanted. And by the way, he should have came down with that pass, by the way.
You know you're going to the six foot six dude. Come on, man.
Well, but Shakes, I can say the same philosophy. If we have confidence in our running game and we know you're stacking the box, we're still going to run the football down your throat because we have confidence in it. So who cares if it's predictable? If Corey Washington can make plays one-on-one against anybody, so what does it matter if all of a sudden they put him out on the field and they know they're going to
throw
him?
Guess what? Everyone knows the Cowboys are going to Dez Bryant on that back shoulder fade. Everyone knows back in the day that the Giants were going to throw a fade to Plastico Burress. Guess what? It still worked.
Last night, the Falcons were targeting Julio Jones. The Bucks couldn't stop him.
Not just one play where they know it's exactly going to you. That's just crazy to me. If you throw him in one time and you say, oh, they threw him in. So there you go right there. He didn't make a play. That's one time. Can I see this guy on the field, please? That's all I want to know.
Well, Shakes, I truly believe he's going to have more reps moving forward.
Stop this inexperienced stuff, man. That just makes me mad.
Well, Shakes, listen, I understand there's a trend of the Giants tending to not allow the young guys opportunities, but I think this year it's changed somewhat.
That's their mantra.
Well, Weston Richburg is starting on the offensive line. Andre Williams has gotten reps in both of the games. I mean, I think more and more rookies are getting opportunities.
And Larry Donnell, by the way, a young guy they're giving a big opportunity to also.
What'd you say about
Larry Donnell, a young guy the Giants are giving a big opportunity to this year.
I think the Giants have seen the writing on the wall.
Wait, timeout, Shake. So what, playing second-year guys doesn't count, but playing rookies does?
I'm not saying
come on, they're both young.
Count, but stop poop-pooping on the inexperience, man.
But Larry Donnell,
is their mantra. You say it's a trend. No, it's their mantra. And it's been here ever since Coughlin been here. I'm tired of it. Heads needs to roll if things don't change.
All right, Shakes, thanks for the call, my friend.
All right, Shakes. Take it easy, man. I mean, I think the mantra is starting to change a little.
No, and I think the mantra is growing up because you have to grow up when you're a rookie in this league. And generally speaking, rookies don't come into the league and set the league on fire. It takes these guys a while to get going, to learn the NFL. I mean, things don't happen overnight with these young guys. They don't.
And once again, I'm going to continually bring up the fact that while Corey Washington flashed in the preseason, they're judging him in practice every single day. So they're seeing how much he's grown and developed as a player, more so than you, me, the fans, and so forth. So I think you need to take that into consideration. We tend to get so enamored by what a player does in the preseason. Hey, he went out there four straight games, he caught a touchdown. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily always translate based on what the coaching staff sees.
And let me say one more thing. I will guarantee you, Tom Coughlin is more desperate than any Giants fan. Any Giants fan. Whether you're talking about Shakes, whether you're talking about Ann, whether you're talking about the license plate guy, whether you're talking about anybody else that calls up to this show. Tom Coughlin's more desperate than anybody on this planet, except for maybe John Mara, to get this offense going and score some points. And quite frankly, finding a playmaker and wide receiver that can make something happen. If he really, in his heart of hearts, thought Corey Washington was that guy, he'd be playing. Because he's desperate to find that guy. Desperate.
Playmakers, that's what Eli Manning needs. Personally, I think more of a spark will come when Odell Beckham Jr. gets on the football field, more so than throwing Corey Washington in for X amount of snaps week in and week out. Odell Beckham, if there's going to be any difference maker this season, it's going to be him. It's just a matter of when is he going to get on the football field.
Exactly. And remember, Tom Coughlin is a wide receiver coach. There's not one position he knows more about than playing wide receiver. So if Corey Washington, if he thought he can go out there and be a major factor here and turn the season around, trust me, he'd be on the field. Look, guys, no one in this building is under any illusion that the Giants have had disappointing years the last few years. The pressure's on. I mean, everyone knows it. Everyone knows how important it is to get to the postseason this year, to have a good year. You think Tom Coughlin's benching a player he thinks he can help him just because he's a rookie? That's crazy talk. He's hurting himself. He's hurting the team. Nobody wants that. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dave out in California. Dave, welcome. What's going on?
Hi, it's Abe.
How are you, man?
I'm doing great, and it's a pleasure to see both of you on the big screen here.
Good to hear from you, man. Good to talk with you.
I'm doing great. Hey, I'm looking at the Giant chat and the comments about Ann, but I think and it's like vinegar on an open wound. And I think we need to have that translated to the Giants offense and defense and special teams on Sundays. But anyway, here's my question. I'm thinking about the preseason and how much money the Giants had this year. I'm wondering if maybe we mismanaged the funds. And what I mean by that is we had a boatload of money that John Mara gave to Jerry Reese. We had a lot of issues with the team. We all know that. Now, I'm wondering if the philosophy of getting the best man on the board was the wrong philosophy. Because we all know nobody is going to take the worst man on the board.
Right,
we all know
obviously.
That. But the Giants had very, very specific needs. Okay? Now, we took Walton, who hadn't played in 2 years because of injuries and health issues. We gave him quite a bit of money. And the first two games, quite honestly, he really hasn't showed up as a
He has starting. Struggled. I agree, Abe.
But now we've got Rich. Is it Richburg?
Yes, yeah.
I'm wondering, I know he's raw. Now we've got two centers. We've got one guy playing offensive with a guard or tackle, and we've got the center. Could we have not maybe utilized the funds wisely instead of saying, look, we want to draft the best man possible, go with the specific need that we know we have. We need an offensive lineman. We know we need a tight end. Now, I know Darnell is doing a pretty decent job as a young guy getting his shots, but I just want to hear your thoughts on did we utilize the money correctly, the philosophy of getting the best man possible. I'm going to hang up and take and listen on off the air. So
All right.
Thanks for taking my phone calls, guys.
Thanks,
Abe. Thanks so much.
I'm not sure if it's utilization of money and resources because, remember, the Giants can carry that cap space they have left this year into next year. So they can still use it. They don't lose it. That's the most important point I want to make, first of all. Number two, I think maybe, and I think they maybe made this mistake last year too, and John Mara and Jerry Reese basically admitted it after the season. They thought last year that this team was more talented than what it actually was, dating back to last year. Both guys admitted before the year, we thought this was a playoff or Super Bowl caliber team, and obviously we were wrong. And that turned out to be the case. They finished 7-9, and frankly, their play probably should have dictated to a worse record than that. And I think maybe, to a certain extent this year, Lance, they might have overrated some of the guys on the roster. And I think at times, like, they went out, they signed J.D. Walton right away. A guy like Brian De La Puente lasted a long time, who has had more success over the last 2 years because, frankly, he's been on the field when, you know, J.D. Walton hasn't. You know, they had Jarrell Jernigan here. Maybe they should have brought in a veteran wide receiver other than Mario Manningham. Maybe they thought Manningham would get healthier quicker and he was going to be that veteran answer. It didn't work out. Trindon Holliday didn't work out.
Walter Thurman gets hurt.
Walter Thurman gets hurt. Again, I think that was a good bargain signing.
For a one-year deal, you can't.
And I think Robert Ayers is going to turn out to be a really good bargain signing. But I think maybe on the offensive side of the ball, they didn't quite get the level of upgrade that they needed to get to turn this offense around. We'll see if that's the case. But through the first two games, and again, Jeff Schwartz is hurt. That's part of it. Your first-round pick, Odell Beckham, is hurt. That's a part. That's a big part of it, too. And I get all that. But maybe they didn't quite do enough in the offseason to address some of the issues on offense.
It's unfortunate. A lot of the injuries make it difficult
yeah,
to really even evaluate how this roster looks at this point because Jeff Schwartz, he spent some money on. He has yet to get in a regular season game. Odell Beckham Jr. is hurt. Trindon Holliday was supposed to help spark special teams. He didn't even make the roster. He was on IR because of the lingering hamstring injury. So I think a lot of the players that they went out and spent some resources on, unfortunately, they're not reaping any of the rewards because they're unhealthy. In terms of maybe where they could have better utilized their resources, which is what Abe brought up, I think the offensive line going back, it probably would have been nice to draft a guy in the first round as opposed to Odell Beckham Jr., knowing his injury track record and so forth. I mean, for example, if you take a guy like Zach Martin, not saying that he's a huge difference maker for the Dallas Cowboys right now, but he's healthy, he's on the field, and Dallas has been running the football quite well. So hindsight is 20-20. That probably would have been a better game plan. J.D. Walton, I just looked up the contract. reportedly they gave him a 2-year deal for about $6 million. So it's not as if you're really breaking open the piggy bank.
I think around $2 million was guaranteed, something like that.
There were other centers on the market you named. I'd throw out even Evan Dietrich Smith, who was another guy.
Another good name. And Alex Mack got too much money. I don't think they could have matched the amount that the Browns ended up giving him.
There were some other centers, I'll say, who did not have the baggage in terms of the health department.
The risk factor. Right.
Big risk. I mean, you still take the chance that he could reactivate the injury. So far, he's been healthy,
yeah,
but we'll see what happens with respect to that. You know, Justin Pugh is a young guy. You're not necessarily going to take him out of that spot. The backups, you know, that's the big area of concern. If you would have drafted a few more players and some of the previous players who they brought in from the drafts, if they would have actually come to fruition, you wouldn't necessarily be in this position. The area of concern to me is, you know, if Beatty gets hurt or Pugh gets hurt, you know, think about the players that you're turning back to, a James Brewer, a Charles Brown. You know, the depth chart at the offensive line is a huge concern, a huge area of concern.
And right now, John Jerry actually looks like it was a pretty savvy signing.
Correct.
Based on how he's played. 201-939-4513. Rocky's in Florida. Rocky, what's going on?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Rock?
Hey, I just wanted to throw this out there right off the top. Y'all remember I was saying I wanted us to get Hester? Y'all talking about playmakers. He looked like a playmaker last night.
Well, Rocky, unfortunately, the Giants thought they had a guy that could do that on special teams in Trindon Holiday, but he got hurt.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, he just is a returner, you know. I knew Hester could bring some of that, like that end around last night for the touchdown. He's stripping balls, interception balls. It's just...
Well, Rocky, actually, taking into consideration the fact that Jarrell Jernigan goes down, Hester would have been a nice security blanket to have because he could serve as the third wide receiver and he could also provide a spark on special teams. And I think you knew what the track record of Devin Hester was. Unfortunately, the Giants chose to go in a different direction. They could have even brought in Ted Ginn.
Well,
they chose Holiday over Ted Ginn.
That's the name that I always wanted.
Yeah.
We talked about it in the offseason. I thought Ted Ginn was a perfect fit for this team. He could have been that veteran speedster wide receiver that helped you out, too, on third down and third and four wide receiver sets. And I think in retrospect, obviously with Trindon Holiday out for the year, the Giants would have been better off targeting one of those two guys. I happen to like Ginn better than Hester. I think he stays healthy more. Hester's had some injury issues in the past. But, yeah, I think in retrospect, you know, you say, you know what, maybe they made a mistake.
And, Rocky, one thing that I just want to add, and I'll let you continue, and you could probably apply this to the Giants, and I say this every offseason. You can't give awards out based on just the names you bring in. A lot of people think, oh, the Giants were so active, they had a great offseason. And then, you know, if there's not a lot of substance or stock behind those names, it doesn't really translate to much of anything. We all got excited.
Yeah.
I'll throw myself in that crew. Quinton Demps, Trindon Holiday, big-time playmakers. When have they ever had this much depth on special teams? These guys get hurt. They don't protect the football. Doesn't add up to much.
Right. Yeah, Ginn looked pretty good the other day, too. I've noticed that. I guess we're giving McBride the nod at the nickel. I kind of thought Bowman would be a better suited for that role.
Yeah, Rocky, Bowman's not quick enough side to side. He's more of a physical outside cover two type of corner. So I don't think he has the quickness and the foot speed to play those faster guys and the quicker guys in the slot.
Okay, yeah, and I don't guess I'm going to be like Charlie here. I don't guess it's going to be no T2 reunion, huh?
What reunion, Rocky? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I said I'm going to be like Charlie here. I said I don't guess there's going to be any T2 reunion, huh?
No, I don't think so. And you know what? And Charlie and Rocky, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. You know, look, Terrell Thomas, there's a reason he's on an NFL team, all right? Last year he didn't play that well when he was here. They had to manage his minutes very, very carefully with how they played him. And look, Jermaine McBride, frankly, is a better player than Terrell Thomas is right now. Now, McBride hasn't played much inside the last couple of years, but he did play in the slot earlier in his career. He talked to the media about it. Go to Giants.com. You could take a listen to everything McBride said to the media. It's interesting. But the bottom line here, Lance, is that they have faith in McBride to go in there. And Perry Fuel, talking to the media yesterday, has actually been very impressed with how he's taken on that role in practice and done a pretty good job.
And he's surprised with how successful Tremaine McBride has been since he arrived here on the scene. If you can handle your business on the outside where you go up against much taller wide receivers, I don't think the transition is going to be that much difficult for McBride to now move to the inside where he's going to see probably smaller wide receivers, maybe at times a tight end here or two, but he's going to go up against that shifty slot wide receiver who I think he matches up quite well with.
Yeah, if anything, I think he matches up better with your typical slot wideout than your big, wide, big, strong outside wide receiver, to be honest with you. So I agree. I think McBride's going to be fine in the slot. Is he going to be as good as Walter Thurmond? Maybe not, but I think he'll be fine. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Nick in New Jersey. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, John, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Nick, thanks for calling in, pal. What do you got?
All right. Well, first of all, I have to disagree with Shakes and Nan, respectfully, because there isn't a better Giants coach out there than Coughlin. And I think that as of right now, he's just trying to make do with what he's got, which in my opinion is not much.
Well, Nick, here's the problem, and I think a lot of people do this. They want to try to find a quick fix. Do you know why? If you make the argument that, you know, the overall talent on the team isn't where it needs to be, that's a tough fix, and it takes a while to rebuild it. If you blame the coach, you could say, well, if we change the coach, if we change the quarterback, you make one change, boom, you flick a switch and everything gets better. And I just don't think the Giants right now are in that situation. They need to get healthy, and the younger guys on this team need to play better. The Ruben Randles, I think JPP, though he's been better this year, needs to be a little bit more productive actually finishing sacks. Demontre Moore, when he gets his opportunities, needs to get better at finishing plays. So I think you need the guys on this team to play better, and I put that onus more on the players than I do on the coaches. Obviously, other people disagree.
No, I have to agree with you, because the one thing I've noticed is that this team lost its toughness. I think the Super Bowl wins, it gave them an ego boost, because they used to walk around with this big chip on the shoulder, and they played with the nastiness, like when they had OC, like when they had Tuck, and when they had JPP, because frankly, that's when JPP played his best, when they had OC on one side and Tuck on the other. Since then, I think they've lost that grainy toughness that, you know, they want to punch you in the mouth when they got on the field.
I think, Nick, you see the toughness on defense a little bit. I think you see it in role. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. I think Beeson, when he's out there, has one. I think McLean has one. I think Colin Jenkins can play with some nastiness down there. I really do. If I think there's one place where maybe this team's missing some of that, you know, really grittiness and, you know, knock somebody in the mouth and be super aggressive and be mean out there, maybe they don't have quite the same level on the offensive line than they used to when they had the McKenzies, the Deals, the Cyberts, the O'Haras. I'm not sure if this team and this group quite has that same ferocity. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm not sure it's to the level of what that old group had.
Well, I think you're right in that, too, and I think also goes on the wide receivers. I think
that's fair.
Or Cruz are playing with that toughness where, you know, like Cruz's first year, when he got the chance, now that he's a starter and he got his money, I think he lost that edge to him. Like, he, you know, I feel like when he first got on the field, he had to prove everybody wrong. Now that he's done that, I think he's lost that, and that's why he's dropping the ball.
Well, I think also it has to do with the fact that he doesn't have too much help around him. I'm not trying to make any excuses for Victor Cruz, but, you know, since Akeem Nicks left or since Akeem Nicks got banged up, what other wide receiver has been a good complement to Victor Cruz? And I think the level of frustration is building up because he realizes, I'm getting double-teamed all the time. It's very hard for me to win those individual battles. I need some help. And that's what gets back to the point about the lack of playmakers on this team right now. Outside of Victor Cruz, who's going to step up and make the most of their opportunities?
And Nick, in fairness, Cruz is dropping past as a young player, too. That's one of the reasons he almost didn't make the roster in his second year. And I think his struggles have – I think he still works really hard. I see Victor Cruz in that weight room in here in the offseason. He works hard, trust me. This guy hasn't taken the foot off the pedal. But I think, A, he's no longer catching people by surprise. And like Lance said, he's getting all the attention now. Teams are going to say, you know what, Drill Jernigan, go out there and beat me. Ruben Randle, go out there and beat me. Larry Donnell, go out there and beat me. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., when you finally get on the field, go out there and beat me. And until somebody else can make another team pay for bracketing and focusing on Victor Cruz, it's going to be tough on him.
No, I agree. And the last thing I'm going to say, and Paul's going to shoot me for this one, I am not impressed with Andre Williams at all from what I've seen over the first two games.
Hey, look, he hasn't played well in the regular season in terms of getting yards. But, Nick, honestly, I know Coach Coughlin said there were a couple plays here and there where he thought he could have stuck with the original play and not rush it and done a little bit better. To me, especially considering Rashad Jennings hasn't run the ball either, and Lance and I talked about this yesterday a little bit, I think it's more a product of there not being a ton of room to run for Andre Williams than him doing a bad job. And frankly, that's because the Giants played two of the better rush defenses in the league in their first 2 weeks. And Nick, thanks for the call, pal.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. I mean, Calais Campbell in the Arizona front is very, very good. And the Lions have one of the best interior defensive lines in the league.
With Fairley and Sue.
Yeah.
This week, it's not as intimidating. No. Believe it or not, the Texans haven't been that effective against the run. They're actually dead last in terms of yardage per carry. Texans are allowing 5.8 yards per carry. So if there's a game on paper that looks good and appealing for the Giants running game to break out, it would be this contest. There was a field day in terms of what Alfred Morris was able to do, the Washington Redskins running back, and even the Raiders, who didn't necessarily light it up, but Derek Carr, their quarterback, ran it a lot and had good yardage per carry. So yeah, this is an appealing matchup from that perspective, but the Giants are still going to have to find the holes and take advantage of that. I agree with Nick. Andre Williams has not looked very good over the first two games. They've also thrown him the football, and he hasn't done wonders with that. But then again, that was not a strong point for him coming into the NFL. He was not asked to be a receiver during his Boston College days, and there's going to be some growing pains in that department. But that doesn't mean all of a sudden with Andre Williams struggling, now we just have Rashad Jennings carry the ball 25 to 27 times. If that means, hey, expand the role of Peyton Hillis, fine. Or give Andre Williams more opportunities and let him work the kinks out. Because I don't think the answer is bench Andre Williams since he's struggling. That's going to stunt the growth of a young player.
Well, you got to play the young guys.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
You got to play
according to Shakes and Company. And you don't want to do the same thing that you did with David Wilson.
Right.
Remember, David Wilson fumbles his first game, and then all of a sudden he goes into the doghouse. And, you know, unfortunately, David Wilson had some other health issues, but that's going to kill the maturity of these rookies, and I'm talking about on the field as well as off the field. You don't want to do that so
and
early.
Guys, Peyton Hillis is not going to be a difference maker as a running back, all right? The team's been pretty good in short yardage this year. Give Andre Williams a shot. Trust me. The guy ran for 2,000 yards in college. He can play. Trust me. The kid can play. And the fact they didn't even have had him out there in those third and long passing situations, two-minute drill passing situations, because they're as a rookie, they already trust him to pass protect. And that speaks volumes. This is the last rookie running back you saw here that they trusted to pass protect. They didn't trust Bradshaw as a rookie. They didn't trust Jacobs as a rookie. They didn't trust Michael Cox as a rookie. They didn't trust David Wilson as a rookie.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Takes time.
Final call of the show before we get to your tweets is Robbie in Texas. Robbie, what's going on? Good afternoon, buddy.
Hey, guys. A first-time caller.
How are you, Robbie?
Listen to you very diligently down here in Dallas.
Thank you.
But almost like a lost season for me.
Not yet. Hey, it's only 0-2, buddy. Don't give up hope yet, my friend.
I really don't see the talent in the team. I mean, if you look at the offensive line doesn't block. The receivers are not doing anything. I'm almost waiting. The offseason probably was more exciting than the regular season right now.
Well, Robbie, I would very much like to avoid a three-month build-up to the draft because the Giants have a top-10 pick. You know, that would be great. I would love to avoid that.
Oh, absolutely. As a fan, why not?
Yes.
I'm already being hounded by these Cowboys fan here, so I just wanted to avoid that.
Well, Robbie, I think Cowboy fans should settle down a little bit, all right? They're only 1-1.
Yeah, and I was beating Cowboys fan because they had a pretty terrible off season, and we had a fairly good off season compared to them, and I was beating them up, and now I'm getting beat down already.
Well, it's still very early. Everybody likes to jump on the bragging rights bandwagon. Time will tell. I mean, let's see how this division plays out. Nobody's gone up against one another within the division. We've
October
got the
19th.
Redskins and the Giants next week.
And so. October 19th, Giants and Cowboys. That'll be your big day there, Robbie.
Oh, yeah, big party here.
What else you got for us?
I'll be the lone Giants fan in the Cowboy land again.
You got anything on the team for me, Robbie?
No, that's about it. Hey, I love listening to you guys, and keep it up.
All right, Robbie, thanks for calling in, man.
We appreciate it.
You know what I've noticed with the new noontime show? A lot of new callers. A lot of new callers.
Which is good.
Yeah.
We want to branch out. Also, a lot of West Coast callers, too.
Well, I'm very happy to hear from Shakes, by the way. I'm happy that Shakes got a chance to call in. Haven't heard from him in a while. I was wondering if everything was okay.
Let's not forget Ann
from
D.C.
We got Ann. We still got Drew Call from North Carolina. Haven't heard from Steve, I don't think, since we started the new time of the show yet. Have you heard from Steve yet on one of these
shows? I have
not
heard from Steve, no.
No. So we'll start making everybody back in. It's fine.
Work their way back in. You know, we don't know in terms of their work schedule. Do they have some time to kill during lunch? Everybody's not like Ann, where they're at their office, they're sitting at the desk, and so forth.
But I have the tendency.
We're not all so lucky.
I have the tendency to feel like the show is getting more live listeners simply because the volume of tweets that we're getting over the course of the show have gone way up from where we were in the offseason. That That's my feel for it.
Have you made a pie chart to share with everybody within
the
organization?
I think we have to ask our web gurus here to figure that out.
Yes, but I thought maybe in your free time as well, you were monitoring how many tweets and the percentages and how it's increased from the 9:30 a.m. Eastern time zone to the noon Eastern slot.
But I think we're getting a good mix of people east and west, central time zone. So I think what we wanted to happen has pretty much happened. And I apologize to the folks that maybe could listen at 9:30 and can't listen at noon. I know that I hate to lose these as a live listener, but luckily we do archive all the shows so you can check them out after the fact. Or maybe they're listening and they can't call in. So
variety of different factors.
Happy to have everybody with us that's with us.
Now that we've broken down the ins and outs of the show, I think we can get to some tweets.
All right, let's see what we got here. Let's see what we got. From our buddy Charlie up in Portland, Maine, is Herman and Hosley. Let me try that one more time. Are Herman and Hosley back this week?
Well, Herman has been brought back to the roster because of the new drug policy. They have until today at 4 p.m. Eastern, the Giants, to actually activate him and make a roster move because they were given an extension in terms of the window. So we will know by 4 p.m. Eastern today whether or not Eric Herman's going to be on the team or they're going to move him to the practice squad or something to that nature. But they have to make a transaction by 4 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, and Shakes. I guess somebody made a Shakes and in D.C. comparison on the phone. Shakes, no one's making that comparison. Someone just happened to disagree with you and her. They're not putting you guys in the same boat, so don't worry about that.
By the way, Stephen D.C. just tweeted that he's been trying to get through.
Okay, so good.
He is listening.
That's okay. I'm just happy
Steve's
listening.
Good to hear that, Steve. We were losing a little bit of sleep that you weren't calling in the program, especially Schmelk, too.
And I want to point this out, too, by the way, that we are screening the calls a little bit differently. In the past, we've put, like, four people on hold and let them hold for a while. The way the new phone system works, basically the bottom line is we can't have somebody on hold for more than 15 minutes. So I know you try to call in. It rings a lot. Just keep calling back, and we'll screen calls as we get to them so that we don't have any of the problems with the phone. So that's something to just keep in mind as you try to call into the show. If it keeps ringing, just keep calling, keep trying, and trust me, we'll pick up the calls as we can as we take them on the air. So, you know, a couple other tweets here. Let's see. At Berserker Alpha, calm down. We're not at the practice, so we don't know what he looks like. This is in reference to Corey Washington. So we're judging based on five catches in the preseason. And I think that, you know, you made a good point, Lance. I think too many people have kind of glossed over this fact that Washington wasn't putting up huge combined numbers in the preseason. He just made a few big individual plays, and there's a big difference.
Hey, he was getting touchdowns, but he wasn't getting 10, 11 receptions a game or even 5 or 6. Now, part of that is because of the targets. So, I mean, we can't necessarily hold that against the player. But what they're interested in, the Giants right now, they want to find the guy middle of the field that's going to do some damage. It's not just about, hey, let's get the tallest receiver out there so that he can put his hands up and catch touchdowns. They need between the numbers type of player. And I think Parker fits that role more so than Corey Washington does. So, you know, let's see what Parker does. If Parker struggles, then they're going to have to call the next man up, and that will be Corey Washington. But right now, I think they look at Corey Washington more as being a receiver who can do some damage in the red zone and serve as a matchup nightmare for the opposition when they get down into territory where they could actually put some points on the board.
By the way, I told our man at G-Men on Twitter, I mentioned this stat for him. This is the Giants special teams. Giants have 2 punt return touchdowns in the last 10 years, but they've given up 3 punt return touchdowns in their past 17 games.
Well, it's been an issue last season. It's carried over to this season. That's the most troubling aspect to start this year, that the issues that came to the forefront last year have not disappeared. And the numbers back that up. In terms of the pressure Eli Manning is seeing, the lack of a running game, the special teams mishaps, you know, you hope from one season to another you clean that up. That's why if you use the Houston Texans as an example, John, as comparison, the Texans have cleaned up their issues.
The
Giants have not.
Yeah. All right, Lance, final thoughts for the game before we say goodbye. Key to the Giants' victory on Sunday against Houston.
Well, I think that the Giants on defense are going to have to stop the run. They make it no secret, the Texans. 55 carries, Arian Foster, not going to shy away from that game plan. If you stop the run, you force Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw the ball more than just 19 times. You know, let's see him throw the ball about 30 to 35 times this season. He has yet to do that. The only way you're going to do that is you have to stop the run, and that bodes well for the Giants considering they've been good in that department. From an offensive standpoint, I like this matchup on paper for the Giants to run the football. And they've run the football, but the yardage per carry has not been anywhere that that all of a sudden gets everybody excited. So if they could stick to the run, this could be the game where they find some openings. And, you know, you don't have to have Eli Manning throw 30 to 35 times, but if you can run the football, you find the holes. And maybe there's a game where Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams could do some of the heavy lifting.
Well, you definitely stole my thunder. I was going to say win the battle at the line of scrimmage on both sides, but I'll build on that a little bit, and I'll go in this direction. Get a lead. I think it's important for the Giants to get a lead in this game. Make Houston play from behind. That'll force them to do the things you're talking about. Throw the football. Try to turn over Ryan Fitzpatrick. Look, if you put pressure on Fitzpatrick and you make him throw the ball down the field a lot, he won't make mistakes. We saw that when he was in Buffalo. All right? If you can do that, you can win this game, but you do that by getting a lead early and not going behind early in these games like they have in the first two contests. Lance, we appreciate the time. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good.
Make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com throughout the weekend for more preview of Giants and Texans at 1 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. You can hear Lance Mendel and I on Coors Light Giants game day at 11:30 on WCBS News Radio 880, along with Paul Dottino and Jeff Eagles. We'll preview the game outside MetLife Stadium by the MetLife Gate, by the WFAN radio stage. Come by and check it out. For Lance Mendel, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you on Sunday on Giants.com. Everybody, have a good one.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
What a get-up punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!